This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this, a Friday evening, our favorite day of the week, a football Friday. That's right. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Gap is big, too.
And good evening to Don.
Luckily, a prerequisite is not being smart.
And to Michael.
I'm an ugly guy.
To Don.
I flush it.
And to myself. Rick is better looking than me. Clearly, it has a tremendous body. There's no doubt about it. Beautiful physique. Dave's such a bad guy. I'm so always
struck. I think he's wonderful.
I'm always struck. Really? You hate him?
I don't hate him at all. I hate things about him, but I think he's a wonderful guy.
Yes, no, really.
See?
I never got that sense that you felt that way about him, Michael, at all.
Well, you know what? Maybe you don't know me then. Maybe you think you know me after 20 years, but maybe you don't.
Well, no, I'm just going by what you say on almost a daily basis.
You know what? You just basically sung a really popular song from the 80s.
What's that?
If you don't
know me
by now,
red, am I not mistaken?
You'll never know me. By the way, I was going to say earlier when Dave was on, we started talking about Nate Solder having to move over on the O-line for the Giants, and it made me think that Nate Solder's play of recent reminds me of one particular Billy Joel album.
Tell me.
Wait. Album?
Yep.
50 seconds. Turnstile. What's the album?
Turnstile.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm sorry. I guess that's it, right?
It hit me. Yeah.
The Stranger kind of works.
The Stranger.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Yeah, sure.
Glass houses, because it's all going to come tumbling down.
Well, that's true too.
It's a lot of Billy Joel albums.
A lot. There are tons. Stormfront. Stormfront.
Yeah,
a Stormfront.
Front.
Certainly coming this weekend, potentially.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, man.
52nd Street. But that doesn't really have much here. All right, guys. Robert Saleh often likes to joke that Joe Douglas, if he had his way, the roster would consist of 53 offensive linemen. Well, guess what? He's got one of them extended. At least a lineman on defense, and that would be John Franklin Myers.
Mm. I do have one bit of news, very quickly, sorry.
Is it related to JFM?
No, it's related to football. Jeremy Fowler reporting Seahawks are bracing for Russell Wilson to miss at least a month and possibly 6 to 8 weeks. Ruptured middle finger tendon that likely requires surgery.
Wow, I got to tell you, gosh, football players, man. Different kind of bees. Did you see that Russell Wilson at first just tried to jam it back into place?
Yeah.
Jam it up! That's exactly what he tried to do. You saw it happen. It was bent to the side. And then the next thing you see is them just bending it and him trying to play on the next play. It was insane. But wow, that is... You talk about a season-changing moment. Is there a team this side of the Green Bay Packers and Tampa Bay Bucks who's more changed by losing a player?
No, especially, he is that team.
Yeah, it's different. And Geno Smith is not Russell Wilson. And also this division, right? The only undefeated team in football, Arizona in their division. The Rams in their division.
Ram it up.
It's tough. But, hey, listen, Stafford also had to jam his finger back in, and it worked.
Jam it up! It worked for Stafford. Let's hear from the now extended New York Jet, JFM, John Franklin Myers. Who was his first call after the extension?
My son, honestly. I wish that he was there, you know, when I signed it, but it just happened so fast. Like, literally, you don't know how fast those talks go, and then, you know, we wanted to get it done before heading to London, so he didn't get a chance to be there, but you know, I just wanted to talk to him, and I play football for him, and I just want to give him every opportunity.
It's a nice story.
That is a nice story, and rare is the not the media, the awkward media laugh, but the media clap. You don't get that every day.
No, you don't. And
that
it's
might
a great
not
story.
Have been media. That might have been Jets.
Jets who are around. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal, and after his rookie season, a pretty decent one. Didn't start any of the games, but had three sacks with the Rams. They just cut him.
Here's Robert Saleh on the extension.
He can really take off. We felt like he'd be a great fit for our system and what we ask out of our defensive line. And he has done nothing but work. He's been a tremendous leader. And then you see his play on the football field. He's absolutely dominant at times. And he's first play of overtime, he tackled Derrick Henry with the tight end's back. I mean, it was just shows some sheer dominance. And he hasn't even scratched the surface of where we think he can go within the system. So, you know, when you have guys who do things the right way, you have guys who are leaders in the locker room and they produce to his level. Credit to Joe finding him off of the waiver wire and Aaron Whitecotton to work with them. And those are the guys that we want to pay. So JFM is deserving of it, and we couldn't be happier to have it done.
Good move. I like that move by the Jets to get that done right now, too.
Yeah.
It sends a message, and you're trying to build a new philosophy and getting people to buy in on a new team. You got to pick the guys who you think can do that and reward them and have other players see that. Now, we talked a lot about Troy Aikman's comments about Dallas being in a different class than the Giants, who, of course, meet this Sunday, 4:25. We'll get to that momentarily. Let's hear from Joe Judge, his thoughts on Aikman's comments.
I don't think we really need any external motivation to show up and do our jobs and do them effectively, to be honest with you. I think you have to understand the magnitude of every game you play. These division games are obviously no different. So if we need somebody else to kind of get us in a mind frame to play, I think we have other issues at hand. Look, I think on topic of what was said, look, this team's extremely good. We have to acknowledge this team's one of the best teams statistically that this league's seen in a long time, to be ranked this high on offense, as a rushing team, a passing team, defensively in terms of turnovers and takeaways, along with rushing defense, to be this situationally good and be this good in the kicking game. This team's an outstanding team. There's no getting around it. This team's extremely talented. They're well coached. They're obviously winning games right now, playing the right way. So I think this is obviously one of the top teams in the league, one of the top teams we've seen in a long time.
This is a fascinating football weekend, in my opinion.
Why?
Because, I mean, locally. Because both the Jets and the Giants last week, in one day, made you start rethinking the seasons, potentially. If you're a Jets fan, you all of a sudden start feeling a little bit better about what they're capable of doing. Certainly not thinking about the playoffs, but winning some games and seeing Zach Wilson bounce back the way he did. And with the Giants, you started thinking, hey, they came up short a couple times, but they could easily be 3-1. So let's get out of the month of September 1-3 and see what we can do. But in both cases, you can be slammed back down to earth instantaneously.
Do you realize, though, that the news that we broke at the beginning of ENN is great for the Jets?
About Russell Wilson?
The Jets have Seattle's number one draft pick.
Jamal Adams deal. By the way, how bad did Jamal Adams look on that touchdown last night?
How bad does that deal look for them? And the deal they gave him.
It's such a bad deal in so many ways. They did it because they thought they could win the Super Bowl. Didn't last year. And then you had the obligation to give them the contract to justify the trade. And I'm just telling you, it's no offense to him. It's the position.
Yeah, but here's my thing. It's not just the position, Dom, because – well, yes, in terms of what he was getting in New York.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is the position because, obviously, the system here in New York made him look one way, and he is not that way in Seattle.
No.
Isn't it crazy? Like, it shows you really can't, with that position, you really can't lean into the numbers that much and start believing your own hype.
And that defense isn't good. And if Wilson is out, yeah, that's going to – the Jets – even if the Jets improve, they're still going to you figure the Jets are going to have a top 10 pick. Maybe they'll have two top 10 picks, depending on what happens to Seattle the rest of the way.
I don't think Geno is going to leave them to that many wins.
And I don't even if Wilson was healthy, I'm not sure they're a playoff team. Again, the defense, at least statistically, not good. You're not winning the division. I don't think you're going to finish in second in the division, at least the way Arizona's playing right now. So they were going to be a wild card team and probably not make the playoffs anyway. So now you take Wilson out of it, forget it. I don't want to pick on Geno Smith, but really any whoever their backup was going to be isn't going to be Russell Wilson and isn't going to give him too many wins.
I got to tell you, when Geno Smith came in last night, I completely forgot that he was still in the league.
That's like Jamal Adams had 9.5 sacks last year as a safety. That's not bad. But it didn't do, as Don said, didn't do what they wanted him to do, which was win the Super Bowl.
No, it's not bad at all. It's a safety.
It's great.
It just looked like yesterday in coverage, he did not seem
like
the
safety.
Does
he have any this year? I got to look that up.
Well, in the meantime, let's go to last night, ESPN Radio. Let's hear what it sounded like when Dan Shulman, the gorgeous voice, Dan Shulman, he's like the Rick DiPietro of voices.
When yes, really?
And you know what? That, by the way, good-looking bald guy.
Yeah, exactly. He sure is.
He really is.
Here's Dan calling the Arozarena stealing of home.
Taylor's got a sign. Here comes Arozarena, and he just stole home. Randy Arozarena steals home. Taylor is a lefty, had his back to him, and as soon as he came set, Arozarena took off and is in there in a head-first slide. It is 5-0.
They leave nothing uncovered, by the way. That was a total scout steal of home. They scouted the Red Sox carefully. They know that he has that one little toe tap before he comes to set, and once he lifted his heel, Arozarena took off, and it was a fairly easy steal of home.
Oh, he wasn't close to sliding.
And that home run was gorgeous, too. Marco saw it, and I had to rewind it a bunch of times. He loves watching home runs.
Really? Smart kid.
It didn't go 400 feet. I was shocked. It was like 497. You mentioned the Rays not having stars, Michael. I was going to say it at the time. He's a star. Arozarena is a star.
It feels starting
11
to
home runs in the postseason.
Well, he's a rookie too, so
yeah. But he's developing.
Franco's a star too. That guy could end up being the Hall of Fame just off talent.
Tampa, of course, rolled. They're up 1-0. Game two tonight, 7:02 on FS1. The nightcap tonight. Here we go. The Dodgers and the Giants. They will be locked in the LaGreca household. Rigetti jerseys on. Everyone. Now, earlier today, Houston, 9-4 winners over the White Sox. Don said it earlier, probably correct. Seems like Houston's going to make quick work of the White Sox.
They're like up flush it.
2-0. And right now, Atlanta and Milwaukee tied 0-0, top six.
Milwaukee.
If you missed the program earlier, a big story coming out of the NFL is that John Gruden reportedly used racially insensitive language in an email to an official from the Washington football team back in 2011 talking about the head of the NFLPA, Demoris Smith. Now we are waiting to sort of see how this, what the fallout is, but the email reportedly said that in the midst of trying to resolve a lockout, he referred to Smith as, quote, having lips the size of Michelin tires. Now, Gruden at the time was the lead analyst for Monday Night Football at ESPN. Gruden has said he spoke with players Friday morning to give them a heads up about the report. I'm transparent with my players, Gruden said. He also said, that might not have been the best time of my life, referring to the lockout. I vented a lot. I never felt we were getting the truth and honesty in negotiations. I just felt that Gene Upshaw never would have let it get that far. I'm ashamed that I insulted D. Smith. I never had a racial thought when I used it. I'm embarrassed by what's out there. I certainly never meant for it to sound that bad.
Well, Mark Davis, the strange haircutted owner of the
Raiders, I call him the pumpkin pie haircutted freak.
He has released a statement.
Okay.
The content of an email regarding Demoris Smith from John Gruden when he worked for ESPN 10 years ago is disturbing, not what the Raiders stand for. We were first made aware of the email late yesterday by a reporter and are reviewing it along with other materials provided to us today by the NFL. We are addressing the matter with Coach Gruden and will have no further comment at this time.
Now, we don't know what happened, but did anybody make comment when he originally sent it? Did anybody call him and say, is this really what you want to put in emails? You know, so I'm not saying anybody's got an obligation, but when something like that happens and it just it goes unnoticed. Oh, no sacks for Adams this year.
Not really?
Yeah.
Former NBA guard and your favorite, J.R. Smith, is making his debut next week. As what, Don?
A professional wrestler?
I know.
Of course you do.
Golf is garbage.
God forbid you not read one headline that comes up in sports. It's almost weird, I'll be honest.
First of all, it's insulting. I read more than the headline, you clown. You read the whole story.
So real quick, you see that.
And I say, that's interesting.
I want to read for
the show.
I want to read more about that. Well, you are correct. It is interesting. It's strange as well. J.R. Smith is going back to school like Rodney Dangerfield, except it's at North Carolina A&T. And, Don, he will be teeing it up and playing golf as a freshman walk-on for North Carolina A&T.
Can't wait. I will watch every – Buys golf!
Good for him. Do what you want to do and do it well.
He'll be playing at the Phoenix Invitational, which is hosted by Elon College, in case you didn't know. Also, Michael, this is exciting for you.
Tell me.
Shoeless Joe Jackson photograph from 1911. You know how much it sold for?
$1.380.
$1.380?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean $1,380,000?
No, just $1.380, $4.80.
$1.47 million. Yeah, $1.47 million, the most ever paid for a sports photograph.
Why would somebody pay that?
I don't know, but I was told that the family of the people who bought it said, we like the picture, not as good looking as Rick DiPietro, though.
The question is, I mean, since this is a big story, did he have shoes on?
Yes, I'm looking at the picture now.
He has shoes on? Well, it's not even Shoeless Joe, then.
It's for Pug. You know what we're going to do, guys? Get ready for this. We're going to take a quick break. On the flip side, we're going to wrap up ENN and, of course, bring you your NFL announcer lineup, all on the other side of this Friday ENN.
That's right, on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
And I feel what you're saying.
That's why I'm here. Ooh, I got to text him. Homeboy Sandman, one of Queen's finest. Time to continue ENN on this Friday evening as we get you ready in just a few moments for... What everyone's waiting for. Michael, what were you watching over there?
Nothing that you should know about.
Oh, well, you know what? Why don't you lower
it? Yes, no, really?
Don, a lot of people weighing in on just how big, where Meredith could be seating-wise. Drop Madness.
Yeah, well, that's all well and good, but there's only one person that can tell us anything, and that's Andrew.
That's a great point. Andrew, when are you hearing from Meredith there?
12, 13,
really?
Somewhere around there.
I could see her getting into a serious matchup with Griffin, couldn't you?
I mean, that region is going to be stacked, so it's tough right now. That's a good drop, but I don't see it as a single-digit seed.
So the Nether region is strong this year.
Yeah, very.
I am a fat flounder.
About Griffin?
Are we worried about Griffin?
Yeah.
My guess with Griffin, if anything, is that he's turned off by maybe like we were mean to him on a call. Like, you know, he had a point that Michael didn't like and disconnected quickly.
Well, I mean, we also didn't ask his – we didn't answer his call for $400,000 in donations, so.
It's a great point. Did you not come through?
No, I didn't.
We could have.
That one took me by surprise.
Well, he didn't ask us for $400,000, did he?
Yeah. I said, well, what do you need for this field? He said $400,000.
Well, but maybe we looked at it the wrong way. We should have just helped get the word out to help him raise $400,000.
I think the way I heard it.
So interesting. I just got a text right now from Incarcerated Bob, which is perfect timing, Bob, telling me that Wilder to win this weekend is plus 245, which actually, that sounds like a fun bet. Now, listen, do I love Wilder's chances to beat the Gypsy King Tyson Fury this weekend and win that WBC heavyweight title? No, I don't think it's likely, but it would be fun. By the way, the weigh-in happened earlier. And Tyson Fury, 30-0-1, by the way, for his career, still undefeated, tipped the scales at 277 pounds. Deontay Wilder, 42-1-1, weighed in at 238. In their first fight back in 2018, Fury weighed 256. The next fight last year, he was up to 273. And Wilder was 212 in the first and 231 in the second.
Isn't it amazing if you think about it? So Fury is a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
272?
Almost 40 pounds heavier than Wilder, yeah.
But then Aaron
277.
Judge is 6'7", 282. Does he look bigger than Tyson Fury?
God, that's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Wow, Judge
6'7", 282.
So he's a couple inches taller. I think Fury's 6'5", I believe. No. Fury's 6'9".
So he's much thinner than Judge.
That's wild. Wilder, even.
Oh, I see what you did.
Thanks. I'll be here all week. I may throw a little money on Wilder at plus 245. They're just because I want him to beat Fury. Fury annoys me at this point.
Wow.
He's an annoying dude.
Yeah, because so many boxers are not annoying.
That's a great point by you. By the way, big news here. If you're just tuning into the program, Kyrie Irving has been cleared to practice with the Brooklyn Nets. New York City has deemed the team facility to be a private office, according to Bleacher Report. So that means Kyrie Irving will not be able to play with the Knicks as of now, because, of course, the Garden's still seen as a public facility. But the private facility where they work out is considered like a private office building.
See, I've got the solution for them.
Go ahead.
Don't allow fans into Barclays Center. Make it a private office and let them play his games there.
I think they're going to prioritize the fans being there, though.
I mean, they bend over backwards for Kyrie, so why not just bar fans?
Yes, you know what they could do is like have a separate facility where fans, like the Buffalo, you know the Buffalo Wild Wings over there?
Yeah.
People could just go to the B-dubs and watch.
They also have a real nice Stop and Shop, too.
They do. It's right across the street.
Just think about it, though. All right, so he can practice, and he can play in every game except the home games and the games of the Garden.
Right.
Or can he play in the Garden because
he's
a visiting player?
Can't, no.
It's because it's still the city. He's in the same city.
That's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, don't bother.
Can you make that work? And then you just hope that between now and the playoffs, it gets resolved.
Rather than
trade him.
I think probably that's what you're hoping for. And the NBA is a powerful entity, and you see what you can make happen.
Because remember, going to court does not solve things unless you get a temporary injunction. These things don't get resolved in court right away.
Real quick. Last thing before our announcer lineup is that I thought this was fascinating, guys. There's a dude who was playing in one of those national fantasy football games last night,
mm-hmm.
who ended up jumping into first place. He took the gamble and started Geno Smith last night. And at the end of the game on that last drive, when Geno scrambled for 12 yards, this dude ended up winning as a result of jumping ahead. He was on line to win. He was in line to win $15,000 potentially. When Geno ran for 12 yards, it pushed him into first place. He won $500,000.
Good for him.
On Geno Smith scrambling.
Now, if that's a smart play, right? If you don't have Russell Wilson in your fantasy, but you have Geno Smith, and you're down, don't you have to start Geno Smith?
You know, Don, this is going to shock you. I have found the name of the guy who won the $500,000.
Go ahead.
I.K. Anunoby.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your Week 5 NFL announcer lineup. And we'll start out bright and early in foggy London town, yeah? That's right. Have some jam, some tea, and strumpets as the Jets take on Atlanta on CBS, of course. Actually, no. CBS announcers, is this on NFL Network?
I'm sure it'll be on CBS in New York.
It has to be on
a New York over the air.
Right. Here it'll be on CBS, and it'll be the CBS broadcast for the NFL Network. And Greg Gumbel's on the call.
Now, SportsCenter with Greg Gumbel.
Joined by the great Adam Archuleta.
Adam Golden Archuleta.
They'll be off the monitor, Michael.
And A.J. Ross and Melissa Stark on the sideline.
I guess not.
Yeah, maybe not. Let's jump ahead to 1 p.m. on Fox, a game that the K-Show will be locked and dialed into as Andrew Gunling's Jalen Hurts-led Philadelphia Eagles head to Carolina to take on Sammy D, a.k.a. Sammy Darnold, and the Carolina Panthers. The great Joe Davis on the call. He'll be joined by Greg Olson and the legend, Pam Oliver. Also at 1 p.m. on Fox, a game that I'll be watching, my two-point play. Aaron Rodgers, his repug hair, his mom cut of the cinch, and the Packers heading to Cincinnati to take on a hot, I mean smoking hot, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. On the call, you know him as Kenny Albert.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
He'll be joined by Jonathan Vilma and Lindsey Zarniak. 1 p.m., CBS, Mac Jones and the Patriots, 9-point favorites, heading to H-Town to take on the Houston Texans. And only one man is tall enough for that task. His name, Andrew Catalan.
Andrew Catalan.
He'll be joined by James Lofton and Amanda Bilonis. CBS, 1 p.m., a game no one in their right mind will be watching. The Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. On the call is terrific Tom McCarthy. He'll be joined by everyone's favorite, Tiki Barber.
You know what's funny? We were on a quest to find Quest.
We're lucky that's not a Thursday night game.
Whew. Seriously, 1 p.m. on Fox. Detroit at Minnesota, a big NFC North matchup. And for that kind of matchup, you know who you need. Chris Myers.
Hi, I'm Chris Myers.
He'll be joined by Daryl Moose Johnston. And, of course, Jen Hale. 1 p.m. also on Fox, a game we'll be locked into. Because this was the pick of the Rothenberg vehicle. The Denver Broncos at the Pittsburgh Steelers. On the call, Brandon Gowden. Joined by Mark Schlereth.
Lick my fingers and touch it.
And Sarah Kustak.
Well, that's basketball, John.
Perfect. Thank you, Sarah. CBS, 1 p.m. Miami at Tampa. I almost took this game, guys. I like the Bucs to blow out the Dolphins, but with the Gronk injury, I got a little scared off. But for a game like this, for whatever reason, you have Jim Nance on the call.
Hello, friends.
Joined by Tony Romo.
That's a catch.
And Tracy Wolfson on the call.
If they got a shot at broadcasting, Tom, they're doing.
That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting call. Last 1 p.m. game on CBS, I'll be locked in as Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints head to D.C. for a six-pack of Heineke. Taylor Heineke and the Washington football team coming off of that epic comeback victory last week will try to get the job done. And you know the man for the job, Spiro Dides.
Oh, very much could have been a Spiro Dides video.
Okay.
He'll be joined by Jay Feely. As we head to the 4 o'clock games, 4:05, Baker Mayfield, the Cleveland Browns, heading to Los Angeles in a big game for me. The L.A. Chargers, two-point favorites at home. And you know who's on the call for CBS? It's Kevin Harlan.
Beer is every place.
He'll be joined by Trent Green and Melanie Collins, which takes us to Las Vegas, the Raiders, trying to ignore the personal controversy that's swirling around John Gruden right now as the Bears come to town. And on the call, Don and Michael's friend and your favorite, Ian Eagle.
That's gotten ugly.
Joined by Charles Davis. And wait for it. This is your Lock It In Evan Washburn special.
The lobby is bustling. There is an energy here.
425. San Francisco. That's right. Trey Lance at the helm for the 49ers as they travel to take on divisional rival Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Kevin Kugler on the call. He'll be joined by Mark Sanchez.
I'm never changing who I am.
And Laura Oakman. 425, you'll be locked in, New York, as the Giants and the Cowboys lock up in Dallas. Only one team for this job. You knew who it is. It's Joe Buck.
He's Joe Buck.
He's joined by Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews.
All right, old man, I can joke with you about that.
And Tom Rinaldi. The Sunday nighter, I'm locked in. It's my three-point game. I have the Buffalo Bills at Kansas City. 8:20, Al Michaels on the call.
He did what?
The rejuvenated Al Michaels will be joined by CC, Chris Collinsworth.
Here's a guy.
I don't know why that's so funny.
and Michelle Tafoya. The Monday nighter, Don, all in on this game. Indy at Baltimore. 8:15 on ESPN. Our friend Steve Levy on the call.
I think my colleagues like me.
He'll be joined by Brian Greasy.
Bob Ross likes to paint. I think it might be a draw.
And his sound-alikey, Lewis Riddick. Lisa Salters on the sideline. And that is your NFL announcer lineup. And that'll do it for ENN on this Friday, October 8th.
All right, we'll take a brief timeout, finish up with phone calls, lead you right into Game 2 of the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox. So stick around for that on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.